Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
A tool called Name Your Price. Get a grip on your spending like an industrial vice. It's nice. Beats rolling the dice. I prefer brown rice. Don't carry dumbbells when you walk on thin ice. Splash.
Get insurance based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired.
Okay, I'm a little lost, but welcome back to the show the pros listen to. Welcome back to Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, the soul in sports. That's right, people. You are tuned in to the flagship show right here on Fox Sports Radio, like I just gave you the identification, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM Fox Sports. And this is the best and worst of the weekend, people. Listen, matter of fact, the best and worst of the weekend has been around, I don't know, since we've been around. But I'm going to throw a little cog, if you will, into the spaceship, if you will, and call it Overreaction Monday, people. That's right, people. People around the world are overreacting to everything that we have taken place this weekend, starting with the comedian-in-chief president that you guys refer to him as, Donald Trump. You can call me un-American all you want to, and I didn't vote for the man, and I've known I'm a big boy. I put my pants on the same way you do, one leg at a time. I know some of you try to jump both feet in, but that's hard to do unless you're one of them parkour kind of fellas. But I know he won the election according to the Electoral College, but we didn't vote for this man. This man is not representing me, this country, in the best that he should represent us, in my opinion. A president should bring people together, not divide them. And today on this program, with the words of my man Vic Gardner from Sports and Politics, I'm going to steal their name for the day. And today we're going to talk about sports and politics. I want to hear your thoughts on Donald Trump's comments about the NFL, about Stephen Curry, a.k.a. the Mickey Mouse of the NBA, and the players' protest. Also, on this Overreaction Monday, Carmelo Anthony traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Some would think it's awesome. Some think it's a bad deal. Charles Barkley said, you're not getting anything with that team, but maybe add one more win to that team. What do you think about that? Also, on this Overreaction Monday, while he was at the game last night, as the Washington Redskins topple, I said it, topple the Oakland Raiders to get to 2-1 tie for the division lead with my Philadelphia Eagles. Let's talk about it. Let's be about it. The NFL recap as well as the Redskins everything report from Wally Wild, if you will, so to speak. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve in this overreaction Monday, WWE No Mercy pay-per-view took place last night. It was built like a WrestleMania, but some people say, like WrestleMania, it let you down. I will have my JMO about that and then some. But people, as always, first the particulars, 347-637-3859 is the limit to call in. Also, we break down the Cowboys-Cardinals game today, which I know we all going to probably vote against the Cowboys, except for one, my social media Twitter star, that's King Vaughn Jr. on the Twitter. That's King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter. Make sure you follow me while you're on the Twitter, following him at Mike Knox. I spell my name with three X's because, like week three in the NFL, I am hardcore. Again, the number to call in, 347-637-3859, and follow the face to give you that identification at 1340 a.m. Fox Sports. Let's bring on my host for today, because today, guys, I'm going to go prove a point to my son that I still got it. Well, let's be honest. Probably still don't have it, but I got something left in the tank, and it ain't sugar. Welcome on, my brother, the host of today's show, my man, Emmy Richard on the Twitter, but his mama called him Micah, I call him Papa Lee. What's going on, Papa Lee?
Oh, man, so much things going on this weekend. Darth Orange calls out football players. They cry about it. John Cena, Roman Reigns, we cry about it. Braun Strowman loses to 1F5. We cry about it. So much to talk about. And don't forget, there's one more thing that people mess up about too.
It is an overreaction. It is an overreaction Monday, and I have to say this much: did I not call it? I called Enzo winning, and I don't do that all the time. So I'm gonna tote my horn a little bit, because I know I invented the thing in which everybody tries to steal wrestling is hashtag wrestling is storyline. But come on, guys, did you not follow the story? Y'all thought he was really getting buried by going to 205. Chris Jericho had on a podcast not too long ago that he would be the best fit for 205 because of his mouthpiece and what he brings to the program, because they have no personality. Come on, guys, follow the storyline. Also, as we welcome to the program today, ladies first, the first lady of the soul in sports. That's right, y'all, at Major Paige on the Twitter. What's going on, Paige? How you doing this morning, girl? This afternoon. Golly, what day is it?
Well, I could be doing a lot better, but I'm glad to be on the show today.
Well, guess what, girl? You breathing.
That's true, but the Dolphins lost, so that's why I said I could.
Well, you know what?
Better.
I happened to be at an event that had Dolphins fans there, and in the words of Hugo, like typical Dolphins fans, I think they left at the end of the third quarter. But they did score! So it's okay. You live to fight another day, okay? You live the fight of the day. Also, welcome to the program live from the city of brotherly love, my EAGLES Eagles brother, as we are leading the division right now at 2-1. And even if the Cowgirls win tonight, we're still winning in the division because we're 2-0 in the division. Welcome in, my brother, even though we lost Darren Sproles for the year, ACL and broken arm in the same play. What's going on, Jay Chris?
What's going on, Mike, man? Let me tell you something. You weren't around on Friday. You know, you was doing that. You're doing your thing. No one on the show picked the Jets. Not even Hugo. No one on the show picked the Jets. We all picked the Dolphins. Not even Hugo picked the Jets. Can you believe that? And I believe we all picked the Jaguars. I believe we all. I think somebody was trying to figure out who did, but I think we all picked the Jaguars.
Everybody picked the Jaguars. Yeah. I didn't. I picked the Ravens, so it's okay. I stand by my pick, even though it was wrong.
Yeah, I don't know what you were smoking on. You were smoking the hashish on that one. But, man, this past weekend.
I picked my upset of the week was the Texans. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that we picked it. I can't remember who we picked. I have to go back to the tape with that one. I think that was a mixed bag, I believe. Yeah. But, this weekend was crazy. I mean, just, you know, from a personal standpoint, from a national standpoint, like this weekend was a roller coaster, okay? And I can't wait to get into it, man. Let's get it started.
Yeah, I got a lot of losses this week, I tell you that much. Also bring to the program who might be the permanent member of the Sandwich Wiki Club if he pisses me off today, which he publicly put on Twitter that he will do. Hugo from Miami, but still loves New York, but did not pick the god dang Jets. What's going on, Hugo?
What's going on, Mike Page? My condolences, first of all, to you. I know you're a huge Dolphins fan. And I told Mike, he's like, my dude, I'm at the L-House right now, and you're absolutely right. The third quarter, like all Miami fans, well, no, okay, no, I'm not going to say all. I'm going to say about 95% of all Miami fans, they get up and leave.
Such a shame.
It's such a shame. It really is. And I've said it on this program day in and day out. That's just what Miamians do. As soon as they see their team losing, they get up and walk away. I cannot wait to talk about this. What's going on, guys? What's going on?
What's going on, y'all? And before we go ahead and get started with what we have to talk about today, and that's honestly what brings us to something that we may not want to focus on today, but we will, and that's sports and politics, as the comedian-in-chief has some unfavorable words to say about the NFL and its players. Micah, don't you know me, okay? Don't you know me? Because that's what's wrong with you people. And when I say you people, I don't mean black people. I don't mean Jewish people. I mean you wrestling fans. Yeah, you people. Because if we had the Road Dogg Hall of Fame,
who was on crack?
Okay, he was not on crack, and I know I'm not on crack, okay? Cocaine's a hell of a drug, okay?
That's what a wrestling
right.
fan. That's what a wrestling fan is, brother. Wrestling fan.
Okay. Oh, the crackhead wrestling fan. Thank you. You have to clarify that when I'm talking and the sound might come through who's on crack. I wasn't sure if you were saying, jump, Sam's jump. I've seen Lean on Me. I'm not ready to jump. Okay? I've seen the show. I've seen the movie, brother. But anyway, about time y'all start respecting John Cena, don't you think so? But we will start with what we have to start about today, and I'm going to leave it off right here, guys. And so, as we heard on Friday night, Donald Trump was in a rally in Alabama. And in the words of, again, not my words, his words, I like to call him Brother Nietzsche, but they don't come from me. In the words of Nietzsche, okay, Charles Barkley, said, why does every time something stupid come out of somebody's mouth, it comes from Alabama? So as our comedian-in-chief has something to say in calling, not only did he call the mothers of the NFL players female dogs by calling them SOBs, okay, which is, let that would have been President Barack Obama, the greatest president this country's ever had, in my opinion. He would have been ridiculed, scrutinized, off with his head, as they say. But they came in to applaud him for saying those things. And in the backlash of that, the NFL comes out and supports, which initially was the Colin Kaepernick taking the knee to the national anthem. Again, I think people have the biggest misnomer in thinking that taking a knee to the flag is disrespectful to the flag and it's disrespectful to the anthem. A, the flag and the anthem are two different symbols of America. Okay? Tweet that out because that's truth. That's not opinion. That's fact. The red, white, and blue symbolizes one thing. The national anthem symbolizes another thing. They do not go hand in hand, although we put them together like hot dog and mustard. Okay? Then you have him not just come out and say these things, and the NFL players who did not even support Colin Kaepernick's stance on taking a knee come out and they lock arms. Let me point out that right there also. There's a difference in protesting. The protest is taking the knee. The support is locking the arms. So I don't want to hear that all of a sudden the NFL all came together to protest the same thing, because that's not what they did. What they did do was, because of the words that came from the celebrity in chief, they decided to support the cause. Now, I have a bigger question that can be asked later on a different program. Does this mean Colin Kaepernick gets a job in Miami? Because I bet he's a better quarterback right now than Jay Cutler would be down there. Just ask Miami Dolphin fans. As I was in a whole slew of people with them yesterday who said, bring me Kaepernick. And you saw the players also wearing shirts that says, hashtag I support Cap. Okay? So, then he goes on to talk about one, Stephen Curry, who, in the words, again, not mine, Nietzsche's,
Michael Rapaport. That's Remy, by the way, who played a very big white supremacist in the movie Higher Learning. And the words of LeBron, you bum, we're going to take a knee to you. I agree with that. I'm taking a knee to Donald Trump. Every time Donald Trump talks, I'm going to take a knee. Because he is the biggest embarrassment in this country's history that we've ever had, in my opinion, as someone in the power that he has. To say you're uninvited, in the words of LeBron James, you bum, you can't uninvite somebody who's already declined the offer. Okay? We have bigger issues in this country to deal with. North Korea, taxes, poverty, the three major disasters just happened that took over Texas, Florida, and Puerto Rico. But you want to sit there and talk about sports. Well, since you want to talk about sports, sports are going to talk about you. I am in support of taking the knee to you, you son of a bitch, Donald Trump. Micah, your thoughts.
Well, my thing is this, and it's always been, and I've been very consistent on this on our show about where I stand when it came to Colin Kaepernick, my thoughts on what he was protesting, my thoughts on his background, where he came from, how I didn't really believe that he was genuine when he was doing that first, how I thought it was just all this kind of jibber-jabber, okay? With that being said, while my feelings of Colin Kaepernick when he first started doing his protests is one thing, I have to give credit where credit is due and recognize that Colin Kaepernick actually was actually standing for something. He was actually trying to get out. At first, he was very inarticulate about it, but at least he was trying to get out information to people that, hey, not all unarmed black people or armed black people get shot by police, but a lot of black people have a tendency to get harassed by the police that leads to some extra problems with police, which in a lot of cases, unarmed black men, unarmed black people get shot by police and they get unjustly, they get off. They get off a lot of times. You can bring up the stats that show that white people that get shot by police get off as well. Those police officers still get off, but, you know, we that's another topic for another time. All these players that got on their knees or locked arms, and I have to give credit for Shannon Sharp saying this, didn't impress me and didn't move the needle for me at all. Because you did it after President Trump called one player or any player who doesn't an SOB. Seriously? So the guy who went after Hillary Clinton during the election, went after her husband and showed the four women who he had some issues with during the election, went after Rosie O'Donnell, Megyn Kelly, Barack Obama, people even before he even got into the political scene. He is known for going after people and being a rude, disrespectful, and at times bigoted, at times sounding racist. The guy is not the most articulate and smooth individual when it comes to words. He doesn't know words well. He knows huge, I'm orange, and that I have hair that looks fake, but for some odd reason it still stayed real. I don't think it's real, but that's who he is. And for any of you football players I'm talking about, any of you to be surprised that he said that is beyond me and shows me where you actually are. Because at the end of the day, I know three people who are serious about actual change in our country when it comes to making sure that police officers, which I totally agree, police officers need to be held more accountable when they do stupid stuff, especially to minority people. I don't care what the statistics say when it comes to they're less likely to shoot black people and all that stuff. You know, the real numbers and the reality of people's feelings are two different things, and you have to recognize that people, when they're going down the street, and I'm going down the street in a suburban neighborhood, while I know that this is not always necessarily the case, if I go down the street in a suburban neighborhood and I get a call and they get called on me, and they're going to come and ask me questions that they wouldn't have asked me otherwise unless I was a white guy carrying a gun around the neighborhood. That would be the only other time where I would probably get stopped if I was a white guy carrying an assault rifle in the neighborhood just to show that I got my Second Amendment rights. But I know I couldn't do that as a black guy. That's the actual reality, okay? It's not just a perception. It's the actual reality that we deal with. And all y'all buzzers took knees and stuff because a guy called you an SOB and told the owners that, well, you know, even though you donated to my campaign and my inauguration, you know, you should fire people who protest. That's what moved your needle? That's what sparked change in your heart? I got kids right now that can't even eat real good meals if they're not eating lunch in my cafeteria when I go to school every day. I got kids
who I teach, who don't have the things and tools necessary for what they need to do, and I got kids that I have to teach that may not have all the resources available to them. But go ahead and take your knee because someone called you an SOB. Well, I got kids who you never visited, you never saw, you never even put up a dime to even do anything for real, and you want to get mad at Dark Orange for calling you an SOB. All right? Oh, and furthermore, for those of y'all that want to come at Ray Lewis, that's fine. You can have that opinion too. He done more for black people than any of y'all ever did. So I don't care what y'all say. You can call him Uncle Ruckus. You can call him a coon. You can call him whatever you want. But y'all need to stop disrespecting someone who actually is daggone, who actually did something for people, who actually did. Like, he got off. First of all, he should be proud because, quote, unquote, he beat the system too, like OJ did. But I guess because he takes a different stance than you do as a black person, you don't count. But yet you still praise OJ, who never cared about you in the first place. That's kind of interesting.
See, that's
I know
where,
I'm rambling. I apologize, but it gets my goal so bad. So I apologize, but I know you got to move on.
I'm giving everybody their time to ramble. This is why I'm giving you this point to give this. If you had a heartfelt feeling about this, then that's why I'm giving you the floor at this moment for that reason, so we can get it out the way, not talk about it the rest of the time if you have shows, and move on. Because I think that's another thing is that the media, which we are part of, we'll play this, and you know how it's going to go. We're going to hit it all week long, and for what? And I think you made a lot of good points there. My only point I won't say disagree with your point about Ray Lewis, but step back from your opinion about Ray Lewis is that just because you help football players don't mean he's done more for black people than most people know, because I know plenty of black people that work for the Black Caucus, that work for Black Lives Matter, that were there for on the front lines to Trayvon Martin. The problem with black America is that we have the wrong black. Somehow the media chooses our black leaders. To me, that's the
yes,
issue.
I don't know. I totally agree. We need to be in charge of our narrative because if you notice, Mike, and this is something that's really big, that gets my goat as well. Whether the white person who is racist, because both, by the way, you can be Democrat or Republican and still be racist, just to let y'all know. Some people don't believe that. Mm-hmm. Whatever. If you support leftist-leaning values, you can be just as racist as a right person supporting right-leaning values. And in both cases, whether you're support of Colin Kaepernick or against Colin Kaepernick, for some odd reason, both sides want to control how the narrative gets spelled out for us who look and look like Colin Kaepernick. That doesn't make any sense. We're supposed to be controlling our own narrative, not CNN, not MSNBC, not Fox News. We control our narrative,
not Fox News,
not anybody else. We haven't been doing that. So I totally agree with you on that, Mike.
And now, and Paige, your opinion about this whole Donald Trump comment, if you have one, if you'd like to share.
Well, first of all, my thoughts are racing, so I apologize if I can't touch on everything that you spoke about. But you did say something that resonated with me, and you said how all of a sudden people are deciding to take a knee because Donald Trump called them SOBs, and that's kind of similar to how I felt, but on a different note. I was a little confused yesterday. I saw a lot of people taking the kneel and saying they were, you know, with Cap, and I just kind of questioned how genuine the motives were behind this, because I'm like, all of these teams had the chance to get Colin Kaepernick, you know, at one
right.
point, and still do,
right.
and no one has picked him up. But everybody is kneeling and all of a sudden standing for something. And I think that definitely speaks to Colin Kaepernick and who he is and the cause. But I like that a lot of players are kind of figuring out that, hey, if we all do this together, we won't all lose our jobs, even if that's the only motive behind what they're doing. So I just, you know, it's just really – really sad, and just to kind of echo what Mike Thomas said from the Dolphins, it's just really sad to know that this is what he's concerned about when there are bigger issues. I mean, we could all be blown to smithereens tomorrow. You know, I hope that doesn't happen, but with the way the world is going, you know, you just never know. And then when we have a president that says things like this, it's very disheartening. And I'm going to stop there because I know that Donald Trump, I mean, this is just one of many things that he said on the list that are bad. But I do really try to remain optimistic despite what things are looking like. So I do have hope that things are, you know, going to turn around and that maybe, you know, this will kind of help change the mindsets of people. I wish a lot of people would hear what you just said, because I just really think a lot of the motives behind what happened yesterday may not have been as genuine and may have been, you know, for the aesthetic, may have been for money. You know, you never know. So those are my thoughts on that.
No, and I think they were brilliantly spoken, by the way, there as well, Paige. I think you touched on something there that it did not be, I won't say it didn't feel genuine, and you're more entitled to saying that, because obviously I think that's in there somewhere. But I think for a lot of people who did not know where to stand, that pushed them over the edge. Hugo, your thought, and I'm going to close with you, J. Chris, and just put this whole celebrity in chief to bed. Hugo, your thoughts, if you have any.
Yeah, I just want to say that I really felt for everything that Micah has said, and obviously you said it in your opening monologue, and I just got to say this, man. You said it yourself, Mike. Why are you tweeting about sports when there are so many other factors right now that we actually do need to deal with as a country that are far more important? Like, for example, you said it yourself, the three disasters that have happened, Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria. Do you honestly think that this man, since Hurricane Maria has completely wiped out the island of Puerto Rico, has this man has tweeted, because, you know, he loves to tweet one thing about the people about Puerto Rico, that tells me that that man is just selfless. He is a bigot. He is egotistical. And you know what, Mike, I'll be honest with you. And I'm just going to just say this, man. He is a big piece of human trash. That's exactly what he is. Like, words cannot come out of me that I'm struggling to, for my people from Puerto Rico, you know, the Latino race. I know you, I definitely do feel for you guys. Obviously, you know, the African American delegation, also my Hispanic delegation.
No, you speak on your nationality. Go ahead,
but
speak on it. You're entitled.
No, but this man has not done one thing whatsoever to help out the people of Puerto Rico. And right now, there are millions of people still without power, without communication. And you think that one single government branch of government has actually gone down to the island of Puerto Rico to help them out? Absolutely not. And you know why? And it's because this guy obviously has far other things that are far more important to obviously boost his ego than to help out people that are citizens of this great nation. And I can't stand this dude, Mike. I really do hope this guy gets impeached. I know we're all waiting for that moment to happen, but this guy is absolutely detrimental, man. Like, I can't even express my words of how much hatred. And that's right. I don't hate people, but I truly do hate this man. And this man is just,
well,
J. Chris,
CEO of the new Twitch show, where I believe the moniker was Intelligence Meets. Forgive me, J. Chris. It's been a while. I know.
Intelligent ignorance at its finest.
There it is. Bring it home for us, brother.
Well, I, just like Paige, have a range of thoughts that really are bouncing all over the spectrum. First, let's start with Trump. All right, the things that he said over the weekend, the man doesn't know what to say out of his mouth. Let me take it to a whole different place. Let's take it to when he was talking speaking at the UN, and he's calling someone Rocket Man, who he was told by his I'm going to call him handlers. He was told by his handlers do not refer to him as Rocket Man. He goes to the UN and refers to him as Rocket Man. Okay. This dude is off the hook. All right. He doesn't care. He's a bully. He's a political bully, right? He's what, you know, you're told not to do something, you do it anyway. He's that guy. He's that small dog that barks and yaps at you, knowing they got the big dog behind him that's going to take care of the business. That's what Trump is. He's the small dog that yaps, knowing he got the big dog behind him, known as the U.S. military, because he's in charge of them. They have to do what he tells them to do. All right, that's one. What he said about in the Steph Curry situation, what he said in the NFL situation, of course it wasn't necessary. Most things he said are not necessary, but it was one of those Donald Trump moments where I gotta say something because I gotta rally my troops. And when I say my troops, I'm talking about his supporters. He may be stupid, but he's no dummy. All right.
Absolutely.
He says what he needs to say to his supporters to rally those supporters. Fire those SOBs or whatever the heck he said. Fire those SOBs and people went crazy. Okay. Now, on to Sunday
he did just say as a president to make people unemployed. Just wanted to point that out.
He said to make people unemployed. Mind you, when he said what he said, the first thing that pops into my mind is plantation owner mentality. You need to fire those guys for basically, you know, speaking their mind, okay, in a sense. They don't want to stand for the flag, fire them, right? That's plantation mentality because he knows that these owners own, you know, the football contracts for these people. So, you know, that's plantation mentality, okay? Now, let's go to something Micah said that he kind of hit it right on the nose for me. I was a bit confused yesterday with the showing of solidarity, I guess we can call it, by the NFL teams. I was a bit confused because, first of all, I didn't know why they were doing it. I mean, all the military was out. I didn't know why they were doing it. When I saw the Eagles game, I saw they were doing it. I'm talking about the arm in arm.
Okay,
the arm in arm.
Yeah.
I'll just not coming out in a second, but the arm in arm, I just thought that they were doing it. I didn't know the whole league was doing it at first. But you still had your people that Malcolm Jenkins with the fist in there, you still had people that were kneeling and all like that. Now, with these teams, people kneeling, okay, they weren't protesting injustice like Kaepernick was. They were more so protesting the words of Donald Trump. Okay, how long will that last? Will they do it next week and the following week and the following week? Okay, you had a handful of people protesting the anthem with Kaepernick. Scattered across the league. He had a few people on his team, people who scattered across the league. Once the season started this year, had a few people protesting, and you saw certain teammates in support of them, even if they were still standing, they were still supporting them, standing next to them, or hold hand on the shoulder, something like that. But then you come to yesterday where now everybody wants to make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to make a statement now that Donald Trump said something. Where was the statement when Kaepernick was saying something? For me, okay. Now, I mean, it's all well and good. You want to make a statement somewhere, somehow. That's great. We should have been making that statement a long time ago with Kaepernick when he started making a statement. Maybe they were afraid of being copycats or whatever the case may be. A statement is just that. It's a statement. Now, let's talk about Roger Goodell, and he came out and in support of the players and things of that nature. But when a player wants to continue to, you know, bring awareness to breast cancer, bring awareness to domestic violence, bring awareness to whatever cause may be that the NFL is not profiting on at the time, now, you know, these people are getting fined. However, when Kaepernick does what he does, now he can't find a job within the NFL. So Roger Goodell can miss me with his statement, okay? What Roger Goodell really needs to do is meet with Adam Silver and probably former commissioner David Stern and take a page out of their book, because I don't think Roger Goodell really knows exactly how to handle issues of this nature, especially suspensions and stuff like that. Lastly, let's just put it like this. When you have a man that's leader of the free world, that's so off the cuff as he is, I have not called for impeachment publicly. I've not called for impeachment. However, this man is bad for this country. He is very divisive, and he's supposed to be making America great again. He has a plantation mentality, and Hugo said, I didn't even realize, though Hugo said it, he's done nothing for Puerto Rico, at least nothing that I know of. done nothing. And Puerto Rico is in United States territory. So that's part of the country too. All right. So, you know, that being said, you know, you got to drop impeachment. Bill Clinton was impeached for lying. Okay. For lying. He lied. Why, you know, we got to do something about Donald Trump. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, in the words of Jay Holiday, I'm going to put you to bed. Donald Trump, I'm taking a knee to you. I'm taking a knee to the things that you don't care about in this country. And that's me and my friends and the people that I support. And on to bigger and better things as we had a crazy damn day and weekend in sports. Starting Friday when Andre Ward retires because he knew that he was not going to be better than Bud Crawford. That's right. I said it. Wally, you're not here to protect yourself or speak on it. I don't care. Andre Ward retires because he knew Crawford was the king. Then we had Carmelo Anthony get traded to Oklahoma City. And let me just say this, because we may not have room and time to talk about it. I think it was a brilliant god darn trade, y'all. I think that for 1 second, people think that, I hate to quote, there's not enough balls to go around. You must never play basketball before. Because a person typically doesn't pass the ball to someone they do not trust. They have no faith in. You got Carmelo Anthony, you got PG-13, and you got the reigning MVP who plays angrier than a baby come out of a mama's womb, Russell Westbrook. Oh, let me just tell you, Golden State's got a problem on their hands, and it ain't Houston or San Antonio, people. I'll tell you that much. All they need is a bench.
That's a big need.
It is a big need, but listen, I know for a fact that Kevin Durant, and you know this for a fact, that Kevin Crybaby Durant and Russell Westbrook by themselves had Golden State beat. By themselves. So now you add who most of you, and including you, sounds like it, probably a motivated, people think that Carmelo can't play no more, don't have him put the hood on and become hoodie mellow. And PG-13 now. I believe it can't nobody stop a superstar. So Paul George can't stop Kevin Durant. But damn it, he can hope to contain him. I tell you that much. If Sumpert plays Durant pretty well, what the hell you think PG-13 going to do? I like the trade. And I tell you one thing. For everybody saying that the East is garbage, well, I grew up when the West was garbage. So, territorial time, right? It happens, right? Let's be real. Michael Jordan really never beat nobody in the finals. I argue that, yeah, he beat Hall of Famers, but those teams wasn't the Bulls team. You know, I'll be real. Okay, the West was trash. Okay, it just was. All the power.
Can I get a blind tag there?
Tag me in.
Man, look, I wouldn't call the West trash, but Mike dominated. Mike made them look trash because he just dominated them. West wasn't trash when Mike was coming through. They weren't trash. I mean, you had. Let's put it this way. When Mike didn't go to the finals, who won? The West. Think about that.
There it is. And it's been thought about. Now, let's get to what's at hand, and that is the shocker of the day. No, it was not, in my opinion. It was not the Jacksonville Jaguars beating the brakes off of the Baltimore Ravens and that defense that I was ready and everybody else was ready to call them elite. I've called Joe Flacco elite. Didn't look like it last night or yesterday morning or whatever the hell time it was in London. It was 9 o'clock for us. It was yesterday afternoon in London. It was not the comments of one Josh Norman.
Josh, there was a lot of talk of Crabtree and Cooper coming into this game. Did you take that personally as a secondary?
Personally? What was personal?
Other than
them getting their tails whooped, what was personal? I mean, you know, first and foremost, you don't come in here and say what you're going to put up on somebody. 200 yards? Did he even catch two balls? You only caught one, huh? So please, whatever you do, do not run your mouth to your wide receiver and you expect to show up on Sundays. Because I'm telling you, we are here and we're waiting. Don't come out here and tell me what you're going to do. Show me. Gonna have to run through me to get that. We ain't letting that happen. So, whatever that young cat said, Coop, go and take it back. Crabtree, I have nothing to say to you. Yes, I may be cover two, but I'm cover one too. I'm cover one, I'm cover two, I'm cover three, and cover four. All of them. All of that ingredients and making a perfect attack. That's what he did, man. I don't do all the extra stuff. When you come out here on this field, you're going to see about it. And Sherman's right. Say he'll sorry, but I don't think he's sorry. He sucked. I'll be honest with you. You don't come out here and do that extra stuff, man. We don't play that out here. You may want to check the stat sheet. You may want to check the person who you're going against next time, because we ain't playing that, man. I try to keep everything all copious, steady, and cool. When you cross the line, when you do all that extra stuff, we don't play that out here, man. Boys showed up. They played some hell of a ball, some heck of a ball today. I can't, you know, be more proud of, you know, everybody being in arms and on deck.
Thank you, Wally Wild, for that audio right there straight from the locker room yesterday. Hilarious. Crabtree, I ain't going to mention you. We already know what we think about Crabtree. I wish I had the Richard Sherman soundbite. Okay, it's not even that. Because this is my damn show.
Let's send you down to the field and Aaron Andrews.
Joe, thank you so much. Richard, let me ask you the final play. Take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to set it for you real quick. L.O.B.
All right, before... And Joe...
Okay, so we don't have to mention Crabtree anymore, okay? But to be honest, because it's my show, if you don't like it, listen anyway. It was the 61-yard damn field goal that no one refuses to talk about, Dave Chris. The Eagles, who gave up a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, got more injuries than I've seen in the movie Hacksaw Riggs, which, by the way, is a great goddamn war movie and it's very graphic. Okay. But the Eagles, full of injuries all of a sudden, lose Fletcher Cox. New York goes on a 21-0 run in a span of, I don't know, 3 minutes and 23 seconds. Eagles storm back, tie the game, and then when no one thought it was possible, people at the ale house screaming, oh, sit down. Sit down somewhere. 61 yards, the Eagles win the game and can stay in control of the NFC East thus far. To me, that was the biggest story of the weekend. That was my best of the weekend, and the worst of the weekend is still yet to come. Guys, football on Sunday, starting with two pays. How exciting was week three of the NFL?
I'm sorry, say that again. I couldn't hear you.
How exciting was week three?
It was very exciting, you know, despite the obvious, it was very exciting.
Are you still talking about the Dolphins?
I'm still talking about the Dolphins, but I'm about to move on off of it. I'm about to move on off of it. But I would say, like, my favorite, like, my best of the week would probably have to be with A.J. Green getting his 500th reception. That was really good to see. I also like that he got a lot more targets in this game. It wasn't where I would have liked it to be, but, you know, we'll see. We got the rest of the season, but that's like my best of the week because if you guys don't already know, A.J. Green is my favorite receiver in the league, so I was really happy to see that.
Listen to these teams that lost this week. You had Buffalo beat the Denver Broncos. You had the Colts beat the Factory of Sadness, which was not hard. You had the Dolphins lose to the goddamn Jets. You had New Orleans romp Carolina. You had Minnesota. Case Keenum puts a spanking on Tampa Bay. You had the Bears, my hometown, beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Which, by the way, last year Pittsburgh had a terrible loss on that exact same week three last week in the NFL. I believe that was the Philadelphia Eagles beat them last week. Okay. And I mean, these are some, and the Raiders lose to Oakland as well as, I got a lot of losses this week, Jay Chris, I'm looking over my picks, damn it. Week three in the NFL was unbelievable. And just to get a tweet out there that was spoken to, a shout out to my wife, Mrs. Knox. She said, players, thinking NFL players are protesting the flag is like thinking Rosa Parks protested public transportation. Damn. Okay. Now, with that being said, Jay Chris, week three in the NFL. I hope you didn't bet that this week because I might have lost you some money, sir.
No, this week I didn't bet that. I bet week one and I don't bet again until after week three. So probably next week I'll be back at it.
Yeah.
It was an exciting week, though. It was definitely
you did say the first
week.
3 weeks of the NFL are the hardest weeks to handicap. You know what I mean? And that's so improved in these first 3 weeks of the NFL. Okay.
They really are. I just want to say one thing about, you know, this past week. One of my predictions, I said that Giants-Eagles game was going to be very close. It was going to be a really close game. And it ended up being that. It shouldn't have been that. It shouldn't have been a close game at all. By the way that, you know, the game started out.
It
shouldn't have been a close game.
No, it shouldn't have been. Not at all.
But it ended up being a close game. And I'm telling you right now, don't know if I said it on the show on Friday, but I said it to a lot of people over the weekend. That Giants team, you better watch out for them. You might think I'm crazy by saying this, but they have a look of a team that can get on a roll and win some games. Okay? They figured some things out yesterday. All right? Now, the Eagles secondary is weak, but they figured some things out yesterday, and they were moving that ball, and they were getting the ball in the end zone. Watch out for that Giants team, man. I'm telling you right now, you better watch out. That's all I got. Am I still here?
Yeah, no, you're good.
Okay.
No, you're good.
But I'm gonna go ahead and chime in there, Mike, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Good. I just want to make sure, because sometimes, you know, he'd be like, "You're like, what is my show?" Like, okay, I'm sorry. Here's what, man.
Listen, the first thing. I'm about to get my car back on it. Okay. Don't comment me. I told you I gotta go prove to my son I still got it. I'll be on the show.
The hell it isn't, Tom. Bill.
The hell it isn't, Tom. I'll see y'all in a little bit, y'all.
No, but let me tell you something, man. I was sitting here watching as many games as I possibly can this weekend and really enjoying enjoyed that Redskins beatdown of the Raiders. I can't wait to talk to Wally about that. That was incredible. I didn't expect a team to this Redskins team to be that physical, to actually know what the word physical actually means. I thought they were so busy trying to pass the ball and be finessing, and I guess Jay Gruden finally realized maybe running the ball is actually inspirational for the team for a change. I don't know how my coach won that game. In fact, it looked like they were purposely trying to find a way to lose and allowing the Browns to come back to win that game. Like I said, Jay Chris, I don't know how you purposely figure out a way to lose, but they looked like they were purposely trying to figure out a way to lose just so Chuck McGowan could get fired. But he's going to get fired anyway. They're probably going to go scout David Shaw, say, okay, you know, Andrew Luck's healthy now. You worked with him. You know his skill set. Let's go ahead and get you to the NFL. It'll be you and Andrew Luck. Y'all tied together for the next 10 years. We'll see what happens. If you won one Super Bowl with a black guy at the head coach, you probably win another one because we probably need to just stay black. Because once you go black, you never go back. I guess that's what they were thinking for when they get David Shaw. One thing that really surprised me, though, I'm just saying, I can be honest. One thing that really surprised me this weekend, though, Jay Chris and Paige, I don't know if y'all – had a chance to catch it. I find ways to watch all the NFL games without having to, you know, even if I get blocked, even if we get blocked out here on the East Coast. I caught that Patriots-Texans game. And I was telling people 2 years ago in the first national championship game that he lost against Alabama, where it really wasn't him that lost, but it was his defense that gave up the go-ahead touchdown. And the second game where he beat Alabama, the same way that he would have beat him the first time had his defense not gave it up. On a last-second score, when the lights are the brightest and the opponent is supposed to be the most unbeatable, Deshaun Watson plays at a level that you want your quarterback to play at, that has confidence in him, in himself and the rest of the team to bring them up. I'm trying to tell you, the offensive line obviously had improved play. Dante Hightower being out was, if I remember correctly, he was out that game. That has something to do with it as well. But he was still going against one of the better secondaries in the league. And a better defensive scheme in that of the New England Patriots. And I honestly told folks, whoever team gets Deshaun Watson, they put the right piece around him like they're supposed to any young quarterback, that he is going to take them to the promised land within his first 10 years. And I know he will because he is a big-time quarterback and a big-time player. And he showed that against one of the toughest teams to beat. And I'm trying to tell you, If all it was one dude who was playing safety, all he had to do was just shove Brandon Cooks out of bounds.
That's all he had to do. And Deshaun Watson would have had the biggest game on record for his young career, beating Tom Horatio Rodriguez Brady in Foxborough, and outgunning him. That's just where I was at that, Jake. Did you get a chance to see that game? No, it's Tom Horatio Rodriguez Brady.
Broadway Brady.
Nah. Yeah, he's all right.
The one I called, I said my upset of the week, that game, yeah.
Man, I mean, Deshaun Watson balled out. He balled out. And the defense helped him out in that effort as well, with accepting that last play where he just, whatever. That's just how I feel about it. That's personally how I felt about that, Mike. I don't know if anybody else saw that game. Did anybody else catch that game? Were anybody else able to see that game?
Yeah, what's on the
end? Not here. Not here in Philly.
I mean, everything that you said, though, Mike, is absolutely on point. Everything you said was on point. But if you don't mind me saying just really quick on week three, man, it was really fun, man. I haven't enjoyed NFL football. Because I always say, I'm always an advocate when it comes to college, but this week in the NFL was crazy. And I think almost every pick that we did, Jay, Chris, and Micah, and Paige, this past Friday, it came out absolutely not in our way, man. Not in our way. It was crazy. It was definitely crazy. But my condolences to you, Paige, by the way. And my Jets. My condolences to you.
All my picks were correct. Even if they were wrong.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I remember. I think I took the Packers to win. I took the Packers to win, but I didn't have the right point. Yeah,
they were wrong. Listen, we don't just pick winners here. No offense to Paige. We're not a bunch of girls. We pick the scores. Okay, so you can sit here in front and say, "Oh, you waited 4 years to come back and giving us all the time you want," and your 4 years absence, I've still been the man. So I'm sorry. Ooh, that just coming to somebody. I'm sorry, Jay Chris. I don't know how to stop. I just don't know how to stop. But I'm sorry, Micah. Continue. I'm a fall the GPS while
I get it. I'm just gonna give you. I gotta give you one more of these.
The hell it isn't, Tom.
you sitting here just messing. You poking. Well, the guy you poking ain't even a bear. Really, he's just. I have my opinion of what he is, but I know who you're poking. But like, come on,
name
now. Stop.
Come on, name and Bryce. Listen, Perfect Flex Talk Radio will be back this week, and as always, the biggest, best interviews you've ever seen. And just to let people know, because I don't do this too often, but I'm gonna go ahead and let the cat out of the bag, okay? In the upcoming weeks, we will have Santino Marella, we will have the Ring of Honor champion, Cody Rhodes, on the program. So.
Ooh.
Get ready. Just get ready. Matter of fact, don't even tweet that out. They gotta get that.
Don't tweet it
to the podcast. Don't even tweet it. Let
now,
them know.
Mike,
by
now Mike,
to the podcast.
Mike, that
yes.
better not be.
Yes.
It better not be this.
He won't. No, he doesn't stand for baloney.
Listen, I've watched Weird Science, and I've been in love with Killer Brock for over 35 years. I don't do baloney. You know that, but. The NFL is like, is Wally joined the program yet? Because this Redskins era thing is ready to start taking place. And since he's not here right now to talk Redskins, did Jay Chris go or Hugo go?
I don't know. I watched that game.
Week three in the NFL is got to be the best thing I think I've seen in football in years. Hugo.
Yeah. Hey, honestly, I think I think because everyone got called that name, they got a little extra spark, you know what I'm saying? And everyone was playing with a little extra chip on their shoulder. Even though some of the rules changed, people were smacking each other around. You know, I didn't like that call in the Denver Broncos and Buffalo game, though. Yeah. The Denver Broncos and Buffalo game, Von Miller just toys around with Tyrod Taylor. So, yeah, I'll help you up. Oh, no, I ain't going to help you up. But Tyrod's like, that's a good one. So, yeah, I know it's a good one. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and get back on defense here. Flag, what do you mean? The heck you mean?
Yeah,
bro.
That might have been the worst penalty in the history of the NFL.
He faked that he was going to help him up, and he got a flag for it?
Yeah, he faked that he was going to help him up.
And they were both joking about each other.
Yeah, joking about it. And they threw a flag for unsportsmanlike conduct.
Come on now.
So,
come on, man.
No, Jay Chris, you got to say it the right way. Say it the right way, Jay Chris.
You got to say it right. Come on, Jay Chris.
Come on, man.
There it is. There. Come on, man. Listen, get the gunshot going because it's time for the best and worst of the weekend, I think, because Perfect Plex is around the corner, and I got some things to get off my chest, just my opinion. So if you don't know, you're about to find out. It's the best and worst of the weekend. And we want to hear from you at 347-637-3859. Sing along. Try to be best because you're only a man and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe though the going gets rough that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself. Try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one and you can have your dream. You know, sometimes I think I'm gonna blow an aneurysm when I sing that part.
What?
I think it's okay.
I think I'm an aneurysm.
I think I'm
more
aneurysm.
I can
your brain. It's in your brain, man. It's in your brain. Oh, Jay Chris,
oh
best and worst of the weekend, my brother.
Man, I got quite a few bests, man. I'm going to go. I got to call out a few things. 61-yard field goal by Jake Elliott, rookie kicker, rookie backup kicker for the Eagles to win the game yesterday. That was awesome. The finish to the Penn State game, you know, that was awesome. And there was something else, but I forgot, so I'm going to leave it at that. That was the best of the weekend for me. The worst of the weekend, there was quite a few worse, but let's keep. If I keep it at sports, I'm going to say all the injuries sustained by my Philadelphia Eagles yesterday, it was ridiculous. I mean, I think they got more people hurt yesterday than they've had all season last year. So, you know, we got to figure out what's going on. Darren Sproles out indefinitely. That's huge. So, that's my best and worst.
Micah, best and worst of the weekend.
My best of the weekend is by far the fact that my coach actually gave me belief again. They made me believe again that we actually have the ability to actually win more. Probably we could probably win three. We could probably get three this season, not counting if Andrew Luck, well, out of luck for the moment, can come back. So that's my best of the weekend. I was very proud of them doing that. My worst of the weekend. My worst of the weekend is it's wrestling related. I'm trying to figure out the best way I can say this without getting too mad. I don't mind Braun Strowman losing. Fine. But at least put more effort into his loss. I mean, the brother survived getting all of this. The brother survived attempted murder by Roman Reigns. I'm upset, and I'll leave it there.
Hey, best and worst of the weekend.
I would say
the worst. We know your Dolphins.
Oh, okay, no, I have a different worst.
Okay.
I'm not gonna make you guys relive that. I picked a different one. but my best,
okay.
I got a few bests. AJ Green, I spoke about him earlier, but another one is D Wade in the Chicago Bulls reaching a buyout agreement. Just kind of being a Heat fan, I hope, you know, he comes back here. But if he doesn't, I'll still be happy. And the last one would be, my last best would be the Gators winning against Kentucky. I don't know if you guys had a chance to catch that game, but that was a great game. You know, another game that we won by the grace of God, I will say that. But I'm glad we won nonetheless.
I do believe Tim Tebow might have been in the building. He might have been there. Might have been there.
Oh, was he there?
I don't know. You said by the grace of God. I just think Tim Tebow is, you know, expecting Jesus.
Well, maybe. but my worst would probably be hearing about Darren Sproles tearing his ACL and breaking his arm, and he's out for the rest of the season. So I'll probably say that was my worst of the weekend.
Huggo,
thank you, Paige.
Best and worst
thank
of the
you.
Weekend.
Best of the weekend.
No problem.
Best of the weekend besides being my birthday weekend, which, by the way, thank you all for the love. I really do appreciate it. And also the Jets beating the Miami Dolphins. I'm going to go with my sport, Mike. I know you're going to be like, oh, God. And Mike is probably going to play some sound bit, but I don't care. Manchester City right now in the Premier League, 21-2 in the last four games against other opponents, top of the league. That is definitely right now my best of the weekend after destroying 5-0 against Crystal Palace. And my worst of the weekend, besides the Oregon Ducks. Actually, I thought they were actually going to come back up and coming again. No, they got stumped by Arizona State. So that is actually my worst of the weekend, is the Oregon Ducks. This one I thought they were going to do better. They once again disappointed me. Bring back Chip Kelly, damn it. Bring back Chip Kelly.
Yeah, okay. Best of the weekend for me was simply just the weekend in the NFL and the Eagles win, playing on my heartstrings the way that they did. Also, my best of the weekend with the Chicago Cubs taking 3 out of 4, as we are magic number is now 2, where I thought the Cubs were just dead in the water this year. You heard me say on this program, just make the playoffs and I'll be happy. Now I have faith that this team has righted the ship. They have got all the champagne and the booger sugar out of their system, and they just might get back to the World Series this year. They have to go through Washington, though, with the return of Bryce Harper tonight. Also, my worst of the weekend would have to be the comments of the comedian in chief. I know we said we was going to put it to bed, but it's still, you know, there in my crawl. Anybody knows me, whether I know I wear my heart on my sleeve, and that's how I wear it. And also, worst of the weekend, honestly, for what it's worth, is seeing Andre Ward retire. Although he may not have been, I may not have been the biggest fan, if you will, so to speak, of Andre Ward. I know he had great fights to come, but I have to give credit where credit is due to him by saying, my body can't take this anymore. And in the words of boxing, boxers, that is, when they say they retired, that's not necessarily the truth. He may not be fully retired. The right fight for the right person for the right money, we know will bring anybody out of retirement. Just ask the greatest of all time, in my opinion, Floyd Money Mayweather. But at this time, guys, did you see No Mercy? I saw No Mercy. My kids watch No Mercy. People, as always, complained about WWE No Mercy. Is that because it was set up like WrestleMania? It was. New Perfectplex theme. Can you please play that for me right now, Mike? Because I need to feel this wrestling segment and give it to you how only I can give it to you. Pure, unadulterated, raw.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Mike,
you have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw, to the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch your Raw first, then listening to the Perfectplex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't trust them, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise.
What's going on, everybody? Perfect Flex Talk Radio was here, and I got to ask you the question that everybody must talk about, and that was WWE's No Mercy pay-per-view last night, which, people, you have to remember, they're all B-level pay-per-views unless they're great, and then they become C-level pay-per-views. To grade or not to grade, that is not the question, because we will grade it. Our adult grade will be for you. And I know, just for people who are new to the program, my team don't think how I think. My team, when it comes to wrestling, we don't even hardly agree on things. But what we do on this team, okay, is not just all drink the same Kool-Aid, not all come out together like Puffy and Usher and sleep in the same bed. Oh, no, 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 no. We grown men around here. We will disagree. We will disagree, okay? So, with that being said, as my team likes to always put it out, so I go ahead and throw it out there as well, hashtag WWE guy. That's me. I'm always going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly of the WWE. And yesterday, it wasn't so ugly, but it wasn't so good. Okay? I thought, in the words of Epp, y'all know Epp, he called into the program here and there, he said the undercard was better than the main events. The main events would happen to be the women's division title, the Roman Reigns, John Cena match, and the main event, Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar. So I'm going to go into the ladies' match first. My daughter, okay, who I love the fact that I watch wrestling with my kids, because I told you guys this for years on this program, I watch wrestling from a different set of eyes than my adult eyes that still want to be the crackhead fans and think we're watching the 90s Attitude Era or the Golden 80s wrestling era. That's gone. Or the Ruthless Aggression era. That's gone. Like movies in Hollywood, they're never going to make a movie just for you. They're not going to make a movie for Justice League or X-Men or any remake they make with Jumanji coming out from what you're used to seeing. They have a whole range of audiences they need to attack. All ages, all creeds, okay? So when wrestling, when you watch wrestling, you have to watch it thinking that way, that you're going to get something you like, you're going to get some things you can't stand. You're going to get some things you can't even understand. So with that being said, watching the women's match, my daughter was amazed. She said, it took all them women to beat Nia Jax. And I asked her before the match who was going to win. And she said, Alexa Bliss. I know, I said Nia Jax. That's what I wanted. I thought with all the publicity she was getting, with everything that was going on with her fashion and Vince McMahon coming in about her, I thought maybe they would put that title on her. But they don't want to put that title on her because Asuka's about to show up. And Asuka versus Nia Jax, Nia Jax would squash Asuka, and it's too quick for that. So instead, they're going to bring Asuka in at the next Raw pay-per-view, and they're going to have her probably, you know, her and my baby, Alexa Bliss, will go at it. So I didn't think that match was bad. It wasn't the greatest, but I've always thought five fatal four-ways and those kind of things were kind of, you know, shaky anyway. That's just my opinion when it comes to the women matches. Too many, in the words of someone said, too many spot fests. Well, the WWE is full of spot fests, and last time I checked, when they wasn't having spot fest, you got her complaining. Now they're having spot fest, and you're still complaining. That's why I don't pay you no attention. In the words of Road Dogg, the internet wrestling fans, which I'm on the internet, so I guess that includes me, but I'm not the way you act. You're like 2% of their audience. Not that they don't care, but they don't care. Okay? Second, the Roman Reigns-John Cena match, like most things that I say, it went over your head. I don't think you can catch up enough to understand how classic that match was. And it wasn't one spear he beat him with. That was a hard-hitting, quote-unquote, spot fest that you got yesterday. And I was highly intrigued and enjoyed the outcome. And if you thought for one moment that Jonathan Cena was going to win, then you don't know that wrestling is storyline. Okay? He essentially passed the torch yesterday. And the fact that the fans responded the way that they did to him, I appreciate that. And for the first time, I saw wrestling fans understanding John Cena where they have known him publicly and they've understood him in quite some time. I thought that match was great and phenomenal. Now, the big egg in the room, which people are complaining about, and I'm like, Micah, it's not really the fact that Braun Strowman lost. It was how Braun Strowman lost. And my son, who's sitting to the right of me, even said, Dad, how did he lose after all the stuff that he did to Brock Lesnar? I had to give him the Kanye shrug. I don't know. But I will, you know, try to make sense of it. He hit him with what, 12 Suplex City suplexes in that match? And an F5? He can beat John Cena with 4 Suplex City. He can beat Goldberg with a few Suplex Cities who dominated him. And no one complained about that as much as they complained about this, because the monster among men all of a sudden became the guy, the pillar of the WWE Attitude Era fans to think, oh, he's the savior. As great as he is in the ring, he's still very green. And if you think for a second they're going to put the company's second belt on him that soon, then you, my friends, do not pay attention to WWE booking. I will give this pay-per-view 3.5, or is that 4? Because 5 would be an A, yeah. So 4 out of 5, Chris Jericho Intercontinental title runs. It was good, but it does kind of fall short. Okay, it wasn't the greatest, but it was a very solid show. The tag team match was phenomenal. I mean, they put on a good show yesterday. That's my opinion. I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to go to Hugo, if you don't mind me there, Micah, because I think he completely seems a different too, and I think you're more indifferent. So, Hugo, the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, like I said, like I was telling you yesterday, I cannot comment on the show because I did have a birthday dinner yesterday. So, the second half, I was able to watch. So I got to go back and actually watch the first half. But for the second
half. You have the WWE Network, right? You should already watch the first half by now.
Oh, well, I was at work.
Go ahead.
You know,
okay.
Why was I working?
You're watching it at work.
Oh, damn. I just want to say that the women's title match was absolutely fantastic. Once again, those women delivered. I absolutely love the finish for the Alexa Bliss. Obviously, we're going to go ahead and get the Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss match that we're all waiting for now for it to happen. And hopefully it'll happen at the Survivor Series. I just hope they don't keep prolonging what's the inevitable of Nia Jax finally capturing her first ever women's championship. Because that, what she did yesterday, man, she was absolutely fantastic, taking bumps from everyone. Also, the way that she actually manhandled all those women in the ring, I thought she was absolutely fantastic. And I really do hope, Mike, that we get to entertain what we talked about last week. Talking about, is there ever going to be a dominant women's champion? I really do hope that it's going to be Nia Jax. I really, really do hope. The Enzo Amore match and the Neville match, you know what? I tend to agree with what you said earlier in the opening monologue. I just found it kind of weird the way that he won it because it makes me think, is he going to go heel, guys? Like, does that feel to you that he might just go heel? Because the way that he did it, that's kind of like a heelish move, what he did yesterday. But it is what it is. He is the best talker in the Cruiserweight. Maybe he'll bring some life into the Cruiserweights, and I think they could do something well with him and Neville and maybe some of the other Cruiserweights, maybe like Tazawa and TJP, whenever TJP is not injured. But the Roman Reigns and John Cena match, to me, I thought the match was great, by the way. I thought the match was absolutely fantastic. I think both men absolutely did, understand each other. I just did not like the finish. I thought the finish was weak. However, the end of the match, or whenever John Cena was shown in the ring by himself, did it feel to you guys that it was kind of like a retirement type of feel for John Cena? I'm not going to say that he's going to retire, of course, but did it feel like it was some sort of retirement feeling? That his time is truly ending.
It felt like that. It did feel like that, but I think it's more or less us being, and not everybody when I say this, so please don't get, he called me intelligent wrestling fan, because I don't apply to all y'all. But I think the smart marks out there, we have enough information in this world we live in that we know that he's leaving to go film this movie for quite some time.
Right.
And after he films Bumblebee, he's gone. So to me, I did take it as a sign, not a retirement, but more of a...
That his time is coming.
You know, Like what he did with The Rock, to be honest. You know what I mean?
But here's my question, though. Is he coming back in time for WrestleMania is the question, because if he's going to be gone for a good amount of time, was this the right spot for him to be able to pass the torch? Maybe not in a B pay-per-view. The Survivor would have been a great, great segue. Hey, Roman Reigns, here are the keys to my kingdom. Go ahead and take it. You know what I mean? But it just felt like at a No Mercy pay-per-view, it felt like he's going to be gone for a quite extensive amount of time. I really do hope John Cena, Mike, is at WrestleMania, because I think John Cena needs WrestleMania like WrestleMania needs John Cena. And I know Micah might disagree with me on that, but I definitely do think they both do need each other. I just hope he's not.
I think he'd be back for Mania. I think he'd do that. Yeah, I think some things that he said before, when it comes to different than as he referred to Dwayne, he will do certain things. And you can't dictate. Yeah, it'd have been better to go on Survivor Series because of the name, but you can't dictate his schedule. And the fact that the fact that he's who he is enough that Raw said, you know, we're gonna make you a free agent and let you go compete wherever you can compete at, because we're just happy to have you be on a program, no matter what program it is. I think that's pretty dope, in itself right there. So kudos to John Cena and what he did. And your last statement about the finish of the main event.
Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar. Listen, Micah said it. I don't have a problem with Brock Lesnar winning. I absolutely don't. What you said makes 100% sense, Mike. You know what I'm saying? Like, yesterday I was going to come in and I was going to come for blood against you. And you saw that I was. But you said some of the things earlier, in your JMO. He's still green. You think they're really going to give the title to Braun Strowman? You know what? You make a lot of sense. However,
I always do.
The way he wanted was unbelievable. It was just anticlimactic. Yes,
Braun Strowman has manhandled Brock Lesnar through the last 3 weeks since they've been feuding together. Last night,
which, by the way, I did tell you, I thought that was horrible booking of that Raw 2 weeks ago.
And this is where, and this is where we're
that
gonna,
was horrible.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to go ahead and agree now. I was going to come for blood, but I'm actually standing now on your side. Now I had a complete 180 of what I feel. I just thought that the finish was absolutely anticlimactic. Just 1 of 5 did it for him. Brock Lesnar, I'm wondering if this is going to be the way he's just going to go ahead and keep the title all the way to WrestleMania. It seems like it now. I think we're too deep into the fall season because realistically, if you think about it, now it's October, then November, finally Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, which, by the way, we gotta see if we're going to go on that trip, Mike, by the way, to New Orleans. Cause,
I'm going to New Orleans, taking the wife this time. We're going to New Orleans, brother.
But anyway, I just thought it was anticlimactic. I just hope that with this, Braun isn't put on the back shelf because I don't think he should be put on the back shelf. I really want to see the progression of Braun Strowman, and eventually, I'm sure, as he improves and he takes that greenness off of him, he definitely could be a formidable champion. But other than that, I'm not going to go ahead and give a belt grade until I actually do go ahead and watch the first half of the show. But I was thoroughly enjoyed with the John Cena versus Roman Reigns match. And to me, the match of the night for me was that Fatal 5-Way. All those 5 women. Big kudos up to them. They worked their butts off, Mike. So that's my cue. What's up with you, Michael?
I guess I'm a homer, dude. I thought Matt tonight belonged to Cena and Roman Reigns, but I'm sorry. That's just me.
It's cool.
Tag team wrestling is my favorite wrestling, but I thought – I know because, again, Epps and other guys who have the films that he has thought that they melded it in, and I didn't see that from that. And I always like to be – I know there are certain people I make fun of on this show. That's because I don't like you. But if I like you and I speak about your opinion on the program, that's because I like you enough to speak of your opinion on the program. Or not even like you enough, maybe just respect your opinion enough to talk about on the program. And that's one of them. Like I don't get how it did not feel to me as if though they melded it in. I thought they put on one heck of a program yesterday. But my bad. Go ahead, Micah.
Well, before I go, we had a caller. That wanted to comment on the No Mercy pay per view. That says Tom. Tom wanted to give a comment on No Mercy pay per view. Tom,
our favorite one listener.
What's going on, Tom? Do I get a trophy?
You get 2%. You get 2%.
I can always play the hell it isn't, Tom.
Man, I love it. Okay, so. Here's where I'm going to disagree kindly with what you're saying a bit. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm just disagreeing with the timing with which they did this. So what is the complaint you hear every year and that I guarantee you in 6 months or however long away it actually is, a WrestleMania time, you're going to hear over and over and over again? Why do they always bring back the old guys? Why is Goldberg taking a top spot? Why have they unretired The Undertaker? Why aren't the everyday guys getting a top spot? Why are we not moving on, right? And the reason that it ever happens is because of stuff like this. They gave away if I told you that the WrestleMania card this year, before this pay-per-view ever actually happened, was Cena Reigns, Strowman Lesnar, Kane, Nakamura, and Styles. That is a WrestleMania card that brings in no outside guys, that is a legitimate top build card. Instead, what they did...
I agree. They
accelerated all these matches onto No Mercy. And, like, look at all these – and you see the disconnect from what they think they're doing from the reality of the situation. They gave that, like, weird silent spot to Cena at the end where they expect all the fans to stand up and cheer him and give him respect. And if it was WrestleMania, I actually guarantee you that the fans would have stood up and given him respect because it would have been the end of an era of Cena being this full-time wrestler. – He's not going anywhere, but at the same time, you're not going to see him that often. But the problem is when you do it in some random September pay-per-view, like No Mercy, and they're trying to get us hyped up for the history of No Mercy, like, oh, man, remember in 2005 when Batista fought Ed Guerrero for the world? Like, what?
I didn't remember that stuff. Right, there's no mercy. So, who cares? Right.
So it's like, no, nobody believes that John Cena, arguably one of the 3-4 Mount Rushmore guys of this company ever, is ending his career at No Mercy 2017. Like, the most famous thing No Mercy has ever done is be an N64 game. So,
Good quote, Tom.
So, the main problem with this is that, so now you give, the fact that Strowman lost, that sucks. I don't like the way that they did it. I don't fully understand why. But the biggest thing that sucks about this is that all the things that they're sacrificing to get to this Lesnar-Reigns match that, quite honestly, nobody cares about, like, is just, it's foolish. Yeah. So,
Line tag, Tom. Yeah. When you say nobody cares, it's us. Our age demographic made does not care. Because I think, again, I always go off the words of the professionals themselves. Well, I tell them to show the pros, they listen. When Jericho and these other guys, your Bret Harts of the world, say, that sells to the common wrestling fan. That if you, I get what you're saying. I don't even want to see it. I'm a Rollins and Brock guy. I don't need to see that part too because I know you guys are going to poop all over it. But, like, the majority out there that's not Twitter, Google Plus, matter of fact, Google Plus is a WWE mark zone. Okay, let's take them out of the equation. But those guys want to see Lesnar Roman for whatever reason.
See, I argue the opposite. Right now, WWE, by its very nature, makes all of its money and is proven to have roughly 1.7, 1.8 million fans that can only access them via the internet. So to think that someone is putting their credit card into the WWE network, figuring out how to download an app on Roku or Apple TV or whatever that you use, and doesn't know how to type in one of these other sites that tells you the backstage antics, like, if you're like, it's one thing to hit your DVR button and hit record, I'm going to watch Raw every now and then. That's the WWE network. Is not like it's not basic cable anymore, right? Like most of their fans are these educated wrestling fans. When you go to a New York or a Philadelphia or a DC or a Los Angeles, like the fans are smart and all the fans there are smart at a lot of the shows. Yes, if you go to like Wichita, Kansas, then it's a mixed bag and it is what it is. But companies have always made their money off the big cities. And so, like, it's just, I don't know. I guess I just don't know where they go from here because tomorrow, I mean, tonight, like, what are we going to see? I mean, Cena's going to be gone for a bit. Reigns will move into some other feud. It's just like if they were going to have Strowman lose like this, there was no value in having Strowman lose like this. Like, just don't put him in the match against Lesnar. Just don't waste the match if you're going to have him lose like this. And then don't pass the torch from Cena to Roman Reigns at No Mercy 2017. Like, it's just, It didn't make sense.
That's why I posed the one caveat, Tom, and you're an intelligent wrestling fan. You can't – he has a schedule. I know the schedule sucks, but he has a schedule. And hasn't the torch kind of already been passed to Roman Reigns a long time ago? And shout out to my man Jamal Lewis on Facebook who said, John Cena, who was known as a guy who didn't put nobody over – now is jobbing to everybody, and people are still complaining. You can't argue a schedule. That's my only thing. You can't argue a schedule. And I got him again. I thank the guy. I'm one of them guys who I don't. Again, outside of me joking about woo woo woo. You know what I mean? And you know, I didn't like the gimmick enough. And I knew Jersey Shore was a fad, even though it was one of my favorite shows of all time. Would pass out. Other than that, I respect all wrestlers. So, for a wrestler to give us his time for whenever they give it to us, I'm appreciative of that. So I don't look at it as, damn, that happened at No Mercy. I look at it like, well, damn, at least he passed the torch. Because there's been a couple of times where Stone Cold hit that belt with beer and it wasn't WrestleMania or Survivor Series.
Yeah, I still think, though, having a monthly pay-per-view when Stone Cold was doing it was still a little new, right? Remember, when Stone Cold became popular, I mean, you were just coming out of the in-your-house phase. Like,
It was still
relatively new. It was still different. Like, wrestling was – there were way more fans. It was at its hottest point. There was way less stuff to watch on TV.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not arguing that Reigns hasn't already in some ways had the torch passed to him. I do think the difference between Reigns and Cena is that Cena had 3 or 4 years where fans really liked him and then just got sick of his shtick. Whereas Reigns has never had a standalone moment where fans have really liked him. So it's almost always been this, like, forcing him as a babyface thing. I just think WWE is just,
they're in this constant cycle of sacrificing the short term. I mean, of trying to spark the long term in by sacrificing. Sorry, oh my God, they're trying to spark the short term by sacrificing the long term. And if you look around and look at like what are the best built things that we've seen over the last year and a half, like the things that instantly come to my mind are the slow burn with Owens, Jericho, even though they didn't really pull that one off at the end. And then this like slow build to the Rollins Ambrose tag team that is probably leading to a slow build to them having a WrestleMania match. I just think like they would have been so much better off on this pay-per-view, just continuing Strowman's push. I don't know, have him face the whole Miz Garage by himself. And I don't know what you have Lesnar do. I admit that's a little bit harder, but maybe you have Lesnar face Reigns. If you need to throw some marquee match out there, throw a Lesnar Reigns match out there, have Reigns lose, which makes infinitely more sense in the long run. If you're really trying to build up this Reigns Lesnar match as meaning something, have Lesnar be the one guy Reigns can't beat, build it up to a WrestleMania match. I still don't think anyone will care that much, but at least it tells a better story than like this, these two unstoppable forces are about to meet at WrestleMania and you're going to sacrifice anybody that comes in their way in the short term. Because it really is making it frustrating to watch, and like these matches would have meant so much more 6 months from now. And it's frustrating that now they're in the books and we're all disappointed.
Well, Tom, I'm sorry. I want to finish off, and I appreciate the call. I'm sorry. No matter what anybody tells me, that match sucks. Oh man, I try to tell you, man. I go back and forth with this all the time. This was the match, in my opinion. It was the you have to cheer for somebody match. No matter if you like John Cena, cool. If you hate John Cena, you're on my team. If you like Roman Reigns, you're on my team. If you hate Roman Reigns, that's cool. I'm good with that. I don't like Roman Reigns the way he's been booked as a good guy, because it doesn't make sense of all the things that as a good guy. There's not too many good guys that committed attempted murder. I'm just saying. You can't say, oh, he's a good guy. He's a big dog. He did all this. He retired a fan favorite. Well, supposedly retired a fan favorite. Then he beats other fan favorites like Daniel Bryan and makes fun of people like Kevin Owens and everything. And then when Braun Strowman started to become a fan favorite, he commits attempted murder. That match alone, I understand if people are saying, yeah, that was a good match. It started off slow, and then it had the big move kick out at two series that obviously what makes John Cena matches quote-unquote good is the image of, okay, well, I can go ahead and hit a big move, kick out at two. Get hit with a big move, kick out at two. Keep going back and forth and back and forth. Now, some people will say that's John Cena's bread and butter match style that gives him an advantage over other stars, because not many other guys are booked in that way. And if you really look at some other promotions, they kind of do the same format too. The only difference is, one, the people that's wrestling in those matches are not John Cena. Two, those people wrestling matches can do more than seven or eight moves to actually give you a semblance that, okay, well, there's a lot of covers going on right now, but at least they hit, you know, this move, this move, this move. You can rattle off probably 10 to 15 moves they hit to make things seem like, okay, well, they're really trying to go in and try to kill each other. Best match of the night was that tag team match, number one, the women's five-way second. The tag team match, simply because you had – real men. When people tell you that wrestling is fake, all you got to do is point them to one Cesaro, who got his teeth knocked out and messed up and was wrestling with a bloody mouth the entire match and was throwing left, throwing right, and doing his thing. Best match of the night, in my opinion. The second best match was the Women's Championship match. And look, Braun Strowman can't kick Brock Lesnar's butt for 3 weeks and then lose. I understand it was a wrestling match, and Braun Strowman isn't a wrestler. Now, I understand that. But please, 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 WWE, all you had to do was put him in a fight. Brock Lesnar would have made him look golden, just like made him look golden before,
And of course, in a boxing, in a wrestling match, Brock Lesnar will have a little bit more of an advantage. He can go a bit longer than Braun Strowman, but Braun Strowman has been in wars, so he's been in matches that have been so long, but they've been kind of fights. Please let them have another match again. Have Braun Strowman do his catchphrase that "I'm not finished with you," because he lost against Roman Reigns, show that he wasn't finished with them. That's all I care about. This gets a 2.5 because it should have been better than what it was. Gets a 2.5. Miz never ended in the Continental Championship reigns when he ran it on Daniel Bryan because it was really, really there was a couple of good things, but you can't leave the show like that in the hands of a lazily booked last match and then give up Braun Strowman just as 1-5. That's just not good. He survived a car crash for crying out loud. But with that, we are out. And we will be back and better than ever later on. Until then, fingers!
Time!
You're talented. I'm God gifted. It's just here to do it.
This is the Soulless Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul and Sports, we keep it hot, man.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
If you're not down with that, we are!